Harper Audio presents
Summer Hours at the Robbers Library, a novel by Sue Halpern. Performed by Josh Bloomberg, Dara Rosenberg, and Allison Ryan.
The Marriage Story, Part 1. What you need to know about him back then is that if the police put 7 college students in a lineup looking for the one who played trombone in the marching band, Calvin Sweeney would be picked 10 times out of 10. And the funny thing is, he did play trombone in the marching band, which is how we met. He was a freshman, and I was a sophomore. And my boyfriend at the time, whose name was John, but went by the French Jean, so certain that he was heir to Cocteau, I had to look him up, asked me to find a nerdy but attractive enough guy to cast in the experimental art house film he was making. I discovered Cal in the second-to-last row of the brass section during a pep rally the 3rd week of school. He was definitely not my type. My type was tall, confident, and athletic, which probably describes everyone's type at 19, except the girls who went for the punk stoner boys, who studiously avoided washing their hair. Cal Sweeney was neither. Not tall, not short, not intense, not laid back, not handsome, not homely. Cal Sweeney was unremarkable, with an open face and a fringe of sandy brown hair that hung like drapes above his round metal glasses, the kind of glasses that had been popular in high school. They magnified his eyes, not brown, not green, making him look permanently startled, like he'd just seen something amazing or awful. It wasn't hard to convince him to show up for Jean's casting call. He said he'd been in Guys and Dolls in high school and was jazzed to do more theater. Using the word jazzed and mixing up theater and film, to say nothing of playing trombone in the marching band, seemed perfectly nerdy. And when I presented him to Jean, he kissed me like I'd just handed him a winning lottery ticket, and was still so excited when we got together that night that he convinced me to have unprotected sex. He said that true artists strove for authenticity in every aspect of their lives. After that, there was no going back, which was terrifying. It was Russian roulette every time he entered me. Would I get pregnant? Would I get some disgusting, embarrassing disease? Jean was thrilled. He said that terror was a pure emotion that I needed to embrace. He said it would strip away everything that was false in me and reveal my essence. He said that the paradox of life was that existence preceded essence. He said that someday we should jump off a cliff together, and then we would know. Of course, then we would be dead, but it seemed small-minded to point this out. The film consumed him. He stayed up all night making shot lists that by morning could run 15, 20, 25 pages. He stopped sleeping. There were never enough hours in the day to shoot, especially since all the actors were in school. Jean was supposed to be too, but that semester he was taking only 2 courses, which he signed up for after getting the list of easy A's from a football player who traded it for an introduction to a shy, amply endowed girl on the Frisbee team, where Jean had been captain till he let that slide too. Jean was getting frantic. He started following Cal to class and hounding him to leave so they could work on the film. By then, he was comparing himself with Orson Welles and Stanley Kubrick, and accusing me and Cal and the other actors of holding him back. He said we were all jealous, and that we were undermining his genius, and that we were plotting against him. He was paranoid, yes, but there was some truth to this, too. Cal and I had begun meeting surreptitiously in one of the music practice rooms every couple of days to compare notes and try to figure out if Jean's wild behavior, like the time he asked me to hold a knife to his throat during sex because he'd read that some French director I'd never heard of claimed it heightened his pleasure, was part of his art or a sign that he was on his way to crazy and that we should get in touch with the dean of students. Cal made the call. It was November, the week before Thanksgiving, and the first time we held hands. I remember the date because Jean had started threatening us. He said that if we went home to our families for the holiday, we shouldn't bother coming back. We didn't know what
Sample complete. Ready to continue?